Hey, good morning, and welcome again to everybody here, everybody watching online, everybody over in the chapel as well. We're so excited about you being here this morning, and I am very, very excited about today as we are going to be launching into something that I am very, very expectant for. I think that really, truly, over the next 3 months, especially here at Crossroads, I am really praying for God to see a movement. You know, I don't want to just build ministries or build a program. I don't know about you, but I want to see a movement, right? A movement that transforms the city. A movement that transforms lives. Come on, church, I'm preaching to somebody already. Come on. Like, we want to be part of a movement, right? I want to see God do something amazing in our city and around the world. And I really do believe that oftentimes that starts with what we do right here this morning, right here in this place. And as Pastor Daniel said, I want to thank you again immensely from all of our elders and all of our staff for the way that you've stayed connected, the way that you've stayed involved, the way that you've given and supported with prayer, with financial giving, with your volunteerism, with serving. I mean, across the board, it's been so encouraging. You know, I was thinking about this the other day that will kind of lead into what I'm talking about now. I was thinking about what God has done over the last 2 years. In fact, myself and David Howell, our executive pastor, were talking the other day, and sometimes we can get so wrapped up in what's happening right now at the very moment. We get so wrapped up in what's happening on the news around us or the world around us or in our own lives. How many know it's good sometimes just to step back and just to reflect on what God has actually done? And I just know that when we do that, I promise you, even in your life, even if this last year has been a tough year, I believe that if you just take time and just see where has God actually showed up and moved, you know, I just believe that he's going to be there. And it was so encouraging for me as your pastor just to stop for a moment and say, look at what God's done in the last 2 years. I would say that it's worded this way, but God. The only way that this has happened is because of God, just but God. You know, we can make all the excuses and all the stuff that's happened in the world, but then there's that but God part. And I want to encourage you, that's the same true for your life too. That whatever brought you to this point, I pray that even right now that sentence ends and a new sentence begins that says, but God showed up, but God moved, but God healed, but God did something in my life, but God provided, but God moved. And I'm just very, very excited and hopeful for that. So you know that this last year, we've entitled the whole year Reach 21 in order to reach people, and we've been walking through the epistles. And we've been going through the epistles and going through the epistles and trying to help us equip and establish what God's trying to do. And last month, we literally preached through the entire Reach acronym. I encourage you to go back and watch that. There's a lot of resources on YouTube as well that you can use to help train you and to evangelize, to reach your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers. But let me tell you to where we got to today and how we got here today, because it's going to make sense as we dive into the next 3 months. A couple Sunday nights ago, I was just kind of sitting in a chair at home. It was late at night. Everybody was kind of in bed or just kind of chilled out at my house, and I was kind of partially watching some TV, partially thinking about Sunday morning, partially looking at comments and emails and praying, and then I was thinking about the next couple Sundays ahead, and as I was sitting there, I was thinking about our next sermon series and the epistles and all of that, and really, truly, it was one of those moments that I would say that God, as clearly as I heard him, just spoke, and what he spoke was just the word hope. And in a moment's time, God was telling me, you know, whatever you had planned for the fall, we're just going to get rid of that. And literally that night, I just started writing and wrote out the next 3 months' worth of messages for us here at this church outlined, and it starts with hope. So we're going to tell you where we are in the epistles so you can finish out the epistles, but if it's okay with you, I'm just going to obey God and take a little detour and just kind of pay attention to what God's trying to do in our life and in our world. And so this month, in fact, we got a big word in case you don't know the theme yet. The word is hope up here. This month is all dedicated to hope. I have 4 messages this month, and really what's going to happen is you're going to get part 1 and 2 today of a message that I've entitled Why You Can Personally Have Hope. So my hope for you is that you will leave here completely excited about the hope you have in Christ and reminded of it. And then in 3 weeks, we're going to talk about why we can have hope in the church. And we're going to talk about that for 2 weeks. And so it's really personal hope, then hope in the church, not the institution of the church, but we as the church and what God's trying to do. October, the title for the month of October, I'm telling you all this so you can pray, but also so you can invite people. I would tell you this, if there's a time to reach out to your neighbors to bring them to church, it's right now, between now and the end of the year. Because I think that really what God's speaking is going to be so incredibly needed for right now. And it's neither in my life, I know that for sure. But the whole theme for October is, God, I can't handle anymore. And we're just going to talk very real for about 4 weeks. We're going to talk real about what it feels like when we just don't feel like praying anymore. We're going to talk very real for a few weeks about what it feels like when we don't feel like we can handle one more day. How many of you have felt that way over the last year? There might be some of you that feel that way this morning. Then November, we're going to talk all about relationships in November. And then we start Advent at the end of November going into the Christmas season. And then there we go through the rest of the year. But I want you to be praying because I really think that what God's driving us to and giving us for us right now this morning for the next 2-3 months is going to be so incredibly needed. And coming from a biblical point of view, right? So we're not talking about putting our hope in the world or putting our hope in somebody else or even in a program. We're going to be dialing into Scripture. So today, I want to give us 5 reasons. This is part one. 5 reasons why you personally have hope this morning. And so you need to get your Bibles out. You need to get some pens out or some devices out. You need to take some notes. Each one of these 5 points has got a passage of Scripture I want to share it from and tie it all together. But I want to start with Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13, you're going to hear a lot this month in many different ways. In fact, I think Ken shared it on the lead-in coming in. And I love this verse because it simply says this, may the God of hope. And I want to just pause there for a moment. Because what's happening around us in the world, and we know this to be true because it happens in our life if we're not careful, is instead of may the God of hope, we say may the job of hope, may our finances of hope, may our own personal skill set of hope, may our relationships of hope. See, I think oftentimes we find ourselves finding hope or looking for hope in the wrong areas. And that goes true for Christians too. I think oftentimes we forget, oh yeah, there is a God that is the God of hope. And I want you to watch what this means. He says, may the God of hope fill you. Come on, somebody say fill you. All right, this is important. Fill you. So it's not just give you a little bit of hope. Come on, somebody. It's not just give you a fraction of hope. It is may the God of hope fill you. And what hope brings is a couple of things. It brings joy and it brings peace. So hear me, this whole month is about you and I getting back to a state of joy and of peace. I know I need joy and peace in my life. I know that this world and your neighbors and your coworkers and your classmates, your family, I know they also need joy and peace. And as this verse continues, listen to what it says. It says, as you, here we go, trust him. As you trust him. See, hope comes from trusting him. The reason why we don't have joy, the reason why we struggle with peace at times, the reason why we allow anxiety and worry and stress and all those things hit us, the reason why we have those sleepless nights, could it be because we've stopped trusting him? It all comes from trusting him. And it says that when we trust him, then we will overflow with hope. So if we want to reach our world, if we want to impact society, and I know we do, I know that this is a church that wants to see transformation happen. It happens when you and I overflow of the good things that God's doing in our life. And so if we're pursuing and trusting God for hope in our life, and there's joy and peace inside of us, guess what's going to come out? The Bible says we're going to overflow. We're going to overflow with hope. One of the reasons why I think God has led me this way is I've had a ton of conversations with people over the last year and a half. Tons. More so lately, again, as we see just different things in the world happening. Again, not all bad things, right? There's good things and great things happening too. But as we see the things unfold in the world, most of the conversations I have with people have a tendency to start to turn to where people start saying things like this. Andy, I'm just kind of exhausted. I'm just tired. I'm tired of working from home. I'm tired of Zoom. I'm tired of kids being home all year and they're just now back to school. I'm tired of having to do all these different things. I'm tired of the unknown. I'm just exhausted. I'm just exhausted. And I think if you were honest with yourself, there's times where you've probably felt that same way. Just tired. This is the last year and a half, just it's been exhausting. if not emotionally, then mentally. I'm highly concerned of our mental health, of the things that's affecting us right now. And I think so many people right now in the world, and maybe you, are in such survival mode where you're just trying to make it through it. I mean, just let's be honest. How many of you thought when we got to fall, things would be a little bit different than they are right now? I know I did. I was so excited about fall coming and getting a sense of what we could get to. And now here we go. And it just feels like, oh, here we go again. Again, some people have had a great year and a half. Some people have thrived. Some people have been up and down. I don't want to paint this gloom doom picture because it's not all bad. But I think that we could all agree that it's been exhausting. It's been a little tiresome. I think I've taken more naps in the last year than I think I had. I hate taking naps. Anybody else with me? Anybody hate naps? I hate taking naps. I always feel worse after a nap. I don't feel better. The other day, it was like middle of the afternoon. I think it was last Saturday. I was just kind of home. I was just watching TV. And I maybe because I'm old, Daniel. I'm 47. Yeah, I'm 47. I'm at the age where I have to stop and do math. And so I'm 47. And I think I just fall asleep now and don't even realize I fall asleep. Anybody married to somebody like that? Just like you walk in a room, they're totally talking, and the next thing you know, they're out. That's now me, Kristen. Like, I am like that guy now. And I woke up, I startled the other day, and my son is standing in the doorway just staring at me because I'm in like the man cave, the TV's on, I'm just out. He's just staring at me, and I wake up, I'm like, oh my goodness. He's like, what's wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you? I've taken more naps in the last little bit. By the way, naps are very biblical. Jesus took naps, okay? So let's just call it what it is. In fact, he took naps on boats. So come on. People with boats and lake houses, you're following Jesus all the way to the T. October, I'm going to preach out of one passage the entire month with some subtext. I feel so strongly to preach out of the book of Kings with the story of Elijah. And I don't want to get ahead of me, but it paints the picture where we're going. Elijah, who is a powerful prophet, God uses him to destroy the prophets of Baal, hundreds and hundreds of prophets. And then Jezebel threatens him. And he literally runs. He has full-on depression. And he literally sits under this tree by a brook and just kind of wants to die. And I just think that if we're not careful and if we're real with ourselves, we can have one moment where we say, God, you're amazing. Look at how good you showed up. The next moment, you might be sitting by this brook that's just dried up and you're famished, and you're tired, and you're exhausted. The thing I love about the story of Elijah is when he was struggling, God didn't yell at him. He didn't beat him up. You know what God did? God said, you go ahead and rest. And God gave him food, and God gave him drink. I just feel that that's just the state of where a lot of people are right now. And if you're not in that state, then you need to be the ones that are helping the rest of us out because you're overflowing with hope. And so that's where this whole thing kind of comes into play, that if you're having a great season in life, and I pray that you are, by the way, and I hope that by the end of this morning, it's going to be even better. But at some point, we have to be the ones that are just pouring out and pouring out into people's lives. So again, I want to give us five reasons why you personally can have hope this morning. Point number one is this. The first reason, and some of these are going to be kind of things you've heard, and some of them might have a different spin, but the first one that I personally started with this one because I'm so excited about sharing this. The first one is this, is that those who are for you are more than those who are against you. Listen to me, church. You can have hope today because the God that is for you and the angel army that is for you is more than anything and anybody against you. So two of you know that. The rest of you are going to learn that real quick. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is Elisha, not to be confused with Elijah. So what happens is Elijah, God actually takes his anointing, and God takes Elijah's anointing and gives it to Elisha. And Elisha then becomes this prophet that kind of comes after Elijah. And so this is now Elisha. And Elisha has now established himself as a prophet, a miracle worker. He's done amazing things. And just real quickly, in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha and his servant are in a city. And it says this, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. You can imagine that. This is just Elisha's servant. He gets up. You know how you all wake up, right? You wake up. Very few people wake up ready to go, right? You wake up. You're kind of maybe a little groggy. You're looking for the coffee. You're looking for whatever. You're going for a run. Whatever you're doing, you're just kind of getting up and getting ready. Imagine walking out with your cup of coffee in your hand and seeing all of Raleigh surrounded by an enemy, a physical enemy with chariots and horses and artillery and military. I mean, just imagine them all coming because they know that you're there and they want to take over that city and they're all coming to kill you and your master and the people there. So this is what the servant sees. So you can imagine him like opening the door, walking out, and then going, oh boy, just kind of backing up a little bit. I wonder if he went running into Elisha's room screaming. I don't know what his tone was. That's the thing. You can't tell tone, right? But I can imagine his tone wasn't like, alas, my master, what shall we do? What do you think your tone would have been? How many of you would have been a little panicked? How many of you would have been a little worried a little bit, coming in, running, going, hey, get up, like, it's time. Like, imagine that moment. And I love Elisha's response. Elisha didn't even go outside. And this is the kind of faith that you and I can have. You can put it in our, imagine Elijah's kind of sitting in a chair, reading a paper, drinking some coffee. Servant comes tearing in, yelling, what are we going to do? We're all going to die. Here's Elisha's response. I love it. Elisha's response says, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elijah prayed a prayer that I'm going to pray for you. He prays this prayer. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened his eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Can I just encourage you this morning that the God and his army are with you. Wherever you go, the God of the universe and his army is with you and he is for you. My prayer for you is, Lord, open your eyes so you see that. Because sometimes if we're not careful, what do? We see the mountain, we see the enemy. If you're talking David and Goliath, you're seeing the giants. If you're singing a song that Emily sang so wonderfully about walking around these walls, wishing they would fall, the Israelites saw walls 40 feet thick and huge and just walk. When are they going to fall? Maybe you're looking at all the stuff and all the circumstances. You're looking at the news. You're looking at Afghanistan. You're looking at the earthquake. You're looking at the hurricane. You're looking at your finances. You're looking at COVID. You're looking at sickness. You're looking at kids. I mean, the list is a mile long. The reason we lose hope is because we're fixated on that and we forget to say, oh yeah, but look at God. Look at what God can do. So listen to me. The first reason you need to have hope is that the God of the universe is on your side. And with him, all things are possible. There is no enemy too big. There is no sickness too strong. There is no financial situation too bad that God cannot move and heal and set free. Amen, somebody? Like, that's the first reason why you and I can have. Number two, the second reason. I'm going to keep moving through these. The second one, again, maybe as a reminder, is that God has a plan for your life. In fact, look at somebody next to you and just say, God's got a plan for you. Tell them that. Remind them of that. God has a plan for you. It's true. Jeremiah 29:11-13. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So God's plan for our life. Listen, a few things. God's for you. God is not trying to ruin you. He's not trying to end you. He's not trying to make your life miserable. God has a plan for your life. And this plan is for you to do well. This plan is for welfare, not for evil. This plan is to give you a future and a hope. And again, just like the first point we made a mention of, that Elisha prayed for God to open his eyes and he saw, this prayer is simply similar, that if we want to have the hope and the future that God has for us, what does it say we have to do? Seek him. And we have to seek him with all of our heart. See, yes, it's true that God has a plan for your life. He's got a hope and a future for your life. He's got welfare and not harm for your life. And it's like God has it right here for us. And the way to get that is that we've got to seek him with all of our heart. And when we seek him with all of our heart, then we actually know how we're supposed to live our life, the way that we're supposed to walk, the way that we're supposed to interact. I like to think of it this way, that in order to take what God has, we've got to let go of what we have. So at some point in our life, we've got to let go of our own plans and our own hope and our own future, and we've got to grab a hold of what God has for us. And I know that for some people, that's very scary. For some people, that's really difficult to do. For some people, it's really difficult to let go of that control, to let go of what God's trying to do in your life, to let go of like your own plan and your own purpose and what you can do, and just trust God. Remember, may the God of hope, right, give it to you, but as we trust him. So if we're going to walk in the plan God has for our life, we've got to trust him with a plan. We got to trust that he knows us better than we know ourselves. We got to trust that he knows everything that's happening before it even happens. We got to trust that he's got some plan in his life, that he's sovereign, that he's good, even through the difficult points in life. Because I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, if that's true, God must not have me high on the list right now. Because it's been a struggle, and it's been hard. See, at the same time that God has a plan for your life and that we're called to seek him, Jesus also told us that it's going to be difficult, that there's sin and there's disease and there's difficulty, and you can't control what other people do. All we can control is what we do. So the second reason why you need to have immense hope today is because the God who created everything has a plan for your life. The question is, are you walking in it? Are we being obedient in the plan that God has for us right now, this morning? And again, maybe you don't have peace in your life or hope in your life or joy in your life because somewhere along the way, you've kind of taken off your own plan and you've kind of peeled off of God's plan, but you're close enough, you know, you're close enough to still feel God and be a part of God, but you're not really walking in his plan. The third thing is this, number three. The third reason why we can have personal hope is because God is already in my tomorrow, which means I have strength for today. This one sits so very real with me. I often think about this point, that if God's already in my tomorrow, then I don't have to worry about tomorrow. If God already knows what my next step is tomorrow, then guess what it gives me today? It gives me total confidence to be in the moment today. This is why it tells us not to worry, not to be anxious. In Matthew 6:34, he says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day as its own trouble." In other words, today's got its own troubles for today. There's things facing us today. There's things that God has for us today. Don't worry about tomorrow. He reminds us in Scripture that if he take care of the birds and the fields and the flowers, isn't he going to take care of you? That God knows exactly what we need, when we need it. Again, it comes down to trust. If we're going to have hope, you have to have trust. In Psalm 139, verse 16, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." In other words, God formed us in the womb. He knew us. God marked out our days ahead of us. He already has a plan in our life. He knows us. He knows our next steps. This is why it's so important for us that we are for life. Like, you don't have to look much further than Scripture to understand that there is a living being inside the womb. that God knitted us together inside that womb. That as he knitted us together, he's already ordained all the days of our life. Life is so incredibly precious. It's so precious. The other day I was thinking that as I was kind of holding our six-month-old foster child that Stacy and I have. We've had him since birth. And I'm sitting there holding him, and I was thinking about this morning. And I was looking at him, and I was honestly praying the prayer of Jabez over his life. I do that with all my kids, by the way. Each one of them got like a little, Parker and Kennedy, I got them like a little coin that has it, and I see it like tucked in their wallet, and they got it with them, and I pray that prayer regularly over this little guy that we have, that God would bless him, that God would keep his hand on him, that God would expand his territory, that God would give him favor, that God would not harm him, that he would be free from harm and pain. And I was sitting there thinking about what kind of life he has in front of him. And instead of going down this path of why he was in foster care, the thought came across my heart where I just stopped for a moment and just praised God that his mom decided to give birth. She could have decided not to. And yes, she has her own stuff and everything that goes with all that, but she gave birth. And this little guy's got a whole future ahead of him. And I'm sitting there just looking at this little guy going, God, you got a plan for his life. And he's got one for your life. The God who formed you all those years ago has a plan for your life. He's ordained every one of your days. He's in your tomorrow. He's got a purpose for you. And because of all that, do you not think that he's also going to sustain you? That if he says to trust him, that it's not like, I'm going to trust you, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, just kidding, you're on your own. No, he's going to sustain us. He's going to guide us and walk with us, which leads to number four. The fourth point is this. The reason why we can have hope is because Jesus cared enough to die for us, to rise again, and to give us his Holy Spirit. You want to talk about hope? Let's look no further than the cross of Jesus. To know that Jesus cared enough for us that he was willing to give his life for us. That Jesus cared enough that he didn't stay dead but rose again, that he didn't just do that, but he also gave us his Holy Spirit to guide us and not to leave us. John 3:16, I know this is a verse that all of you know, but it's so powerful. That God loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So I think sometimes when we think about hope, coming back to the basics of our faith is so important. The basics of a faith that says that God cared so much for the whole world that he wished that nobody would perish but that everybody would have eternal life. Like, that's hope. Because now I know I have hope for eternity. Listen to me, my hope isn't just in how good I can do today. The hope is that one day, hopefully many, many, many years from now, but one day that I will take my last breath here and immediately open my eyes in eternity. See, that is the hope that the world doesn't know. That's the hope that people just have no idea what's going on in their life. In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they made a profound statement. We were talking about life and ministry and just, you know, whatever. And it was an older gentleman. He leaned across the table, and he said, can you imagine what people without Jesus are doing right now? Can you imagine how people are responding to the world and the chaos without Jesus right now? And it stopped me in my mind I'm going, man, sometimes it's so easy to forget that. It's hard. Come on. How many of you, you're in church, how many know it's hard enough with Jesus in our life to sometimes keep moving forward and keep having hope, right? So it's hard enough with him in our life. What about your neighbors who are lost? When was the last time you thought about how hard it must be for people with no eternal hope to navigate what's going on right now. I can't even imagine that. Like, I literally can't even, I can't even imagine what that must feel like, because I have so much hope in who Jesus is. And at the end of the day, I could always say, well, today was a bad day, or it was a bad week, or it was a rough year and a half, but hey, at least Jesus loves me and died for me. At least I have eternal life. At least he's given me his Holy Spirit. I at least have that hope. Even if I have nothing else, I have that. What about the world around us that don't have that? What happens when their life falls apart? And maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're here in this room and watching online, and you're going, hey, that kind of sounds like me. That sounds like me. This is the fifth and final one for this morning, and that's this. It's that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in me. See, the church, the hope that I have also is that Romans 8:11 says, if a Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit. See, the hope that I have is there's this power that not only did Jesus love me and die for me, not only did he raise again, not only did he give his Holy Spirit, but his Holy Spirit actually gave me power. That I actually have all the power inside of me as God's child to face whatever the world's coming. And so do you. The Holy Spirit inside of you has all the power you need to be victorious today, tomorrow, and 10 years from now. His power never runs out. His power doesn't run dry. His power is there. You have the Holy Spirit, but are you walking in his power? See, I think hope and trust and joy and peace, all that comes out of, honestly, knowing who I am in Christ. Knowing who I am in him. Knowing the power that I have in him. Knowing that I am who I am because God is who he is. So church, this morning, I hope you find encouragement and hope in that those who are with you are more than those against you, that God has a plan for your life, that God is already in your tomorrow so you can have strength today, that Jesus loved you so much that he took your sins to the cross and you have eternal life, and that the same Spirit that rose him from the dead is the same Spirit and the same power that's here with you right now. We're going to pray here in just a moment. And right after I pray, I've asked some of the team to join me on stage to lead us in a hymn. And as I was preparing these messages, so when I was going to church as a teenager, the church did primarily hymns. I grew up on hymns. I personally love hymns and Striper, so I have both extremes. So I love hymns. But also like Striper and Petra and, you know, 80s rock, so you gotta balance it out. If somebody can do an 80s rock version of hymns, woo! That's what we're gonna do every Sunday, just be ready. If anybody figures out how to do that, every Sunday is gonna be 80 rock hymns. Can you just hear it in your head? How many of you are already hearing it in your head? Come on. Like, now I'm already down that road. It's just massive guitar solo and four count on the drums, and we are solid. But the hymn came into my mind, Because He Lives. How many of you remember that hymn? We're going to close singing that song, but I'm going to read you just that first verse in the chorus. It says, God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. The chorus is, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.